the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
In most churches across America, you'll know that you're in the Christmas season when you go in and you see shoeboxes everywhere. That's occupation, Christmas, operation. I was going to say occupation. Where in the world did I get that? Operation Christmas Child, yeah. And but, Alex, did you know that there's something that follows Operation Christmas Child shoebox?
Well, a little bit, but tell me about it.
Well, it's called The Greatest Journey. And today we have two guests that's going to fill us in on what it does, not only in the person's life, the child's life, not only possibly in the parent's life, but also in the parent's, the effect it has on others. So we're excited about that. And I'm going to introduce one of our guests today, and then she'll introduce the others, mainly because I don't know how to say her last name. I've got her first name down, but I know Dana has her last name down. Dana Williams, it's good to have you back.
Oh, thank you, sir. Great to be with you guys today.
Do you know how many years you've been coming to AFR with Operation Christmas Child, The Greatest Journey?
We've been working with you guys for a long time. I've had the privilege of being around here for about 3 or 4 years now.
That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. So we welcome you back.
Thank you.
And we're here today to ask people to join us and join others in giving and making the possibility of The Greatest Journey available to at least 10,000 children that have received shoeboxes and now they want to go on a discipleship program.
That's right. This discipleship program, if anybody's out there hearing about it for the first time, this is 12 lessons where, like you said, a child receives a shoebox gift and then we say to them, hey, if you want to know more about God's gift for you, his son Jesus, the gift of salvation, if you want to know more about how to have a relationship with him, if you want to learn how to share that with others, come back. Let's get together. You know, come back to The Greatest Journey, 12 lesson discipleship course. And that is where we equip local ministry partners, and we give them the resources that they need, and we teach them how to use them, equip them to use them well, effectively, and to have a relationship with these children in their communities.
Alex, this fits right in with Exploring the Word and the listeners we have, because that's what we try to do. We try to disciple them in the Word of God. Let me give this number, and then I know you'd want to ask a word, and then Dana's going to introduce our other guests, but let me give these numbers. If you want to be a part of this, $6 will provide the workbook, the Bible, and the graduation that the child goes through when they complete the 12-week program. It's 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can go online at AFR.net and make your pledge. We would love for you to do that. $60 reaches 10 children. That's amazing. 150, 25 children. So what a difference it makes. So, Alex, before we go any further, Dana, would you introduce Gina? I've got her first name down, but you got
Gina
her last
Paredes.
Name.
Gina Paredes is a former The Greatest Journey instructor, teacher. And, you know, I mentioned those local ministry partners who can equip those children because they are the neighbors. They speak the children's native language. They get to know the families. That's why Gina's here. She's going to tell us about her experience doing just that as The Greatest Journey teacher.
Go ahead, Gina.
Hello, everyone. Hola. Gina Paredes. I just want to let you know how much impact is having Operation Christmas Child in different countries around the world, especially in Colombia. There are so many poor communities and also dangerous places where nobody wants to go, but some churches like mine in Colombia, we wanted to go, we pray for them, and we care for them, and we were reaching children in all these communities. And it was a great, great impact because of these lessons, because of this material, we could teach them about Jesus. We could make them come close to Jesus, and their lives were changed.
Amen. Alex,
amen.
Go ahead.
Hi, Alex McFarland here. Dana and Gina, it's great to hear from you, and we're so excited about what The Greatest Journey is doing. On this program, we teach the Word of God, and we have a lot of listeners, and some teenagers too, but I'm just thrilled that you all are introducing young people, children, to Jesus and to God's Word. And tell people online, is there a website that tells about it too?
Absolutely. So folks can go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. And today, if you go to AFR.net, you're going to see everything you need to know about The Greatest Journey at AFR.net. That's where you can donate and really get involved and just learn a lot more about the program.
And kids are hungry for it, aren't they?
Absolutely. And you mentioned the Word of God. We are so passionate about them being able to have direct access to the Word of God. You know, when a child graduates the program, that $6 per child that you guys are donating today, really, that's part of it, providing that New Testament Bible that is colorfully illustrated and in the child's own language. That child's going to get that New Testament Bible when they graduate the program. It's a beautiful gift.
I want our people to hear some of Gina's story how she came to Christ, but also how she got involved with Operation Christmas Child. One of the things that I always use is partner and connection. You hear me say those words over and over again. And here was Gina in Colombia, and God connected you with Operation Christmas Child, did he not?
It was such a miracle. I had a heart for children. I wanted to teach them. I wanted to give them the opportunity I had when I met Jesus, and he changed my life. So for so many years, I was working hard. I was looking for my own materials, doing my own lesson, and just working side by side with my church. But resources are so difficult to find, and even for a small church. So we needed support. We needed donations, and we couldn't find them in Colombia. But we found them when we prayed, because it was so difficult for us to continue. So one of the days we say, Lord, without your help, we cannot continue doing this. So there's 200 children. We were having in our Bible clubs. So we pray for resources, and Operation Christmas Child offered to us all of this just for free, the shoeboxes and also the Greatest Journey books.
So at the end, when you guys had no resources, is when God connected you with Operation Christmas Child.
Exactly.
With resources.
Yes, with everything we needed.
Alex, that's Amen. God, isn't it?
Oh, God always does that. And, you know, I'm so excited. And, folks, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with a couple of people from Operation Christmas Child, Dana Williams and Gina Paredes, and AFR.net, as in AmericanFamilyRadio.net. It's just super-duper easy. You can go there, and just by giving a gift, $6 puts the Word of God in the hand of a child. And $60 reaches 10 children, $150 reaches 25 children. And they get, for the kids that have gotten a shoebox, they go through the Greatest Journey, and they learn the Word of God. They get introduced to the church and all these wonderful truths about being a Christian. And hey, Dana and Gina, I just want to say I'm so excited for what God is doing through it. How many languages, if you can say or estimate, like how many languages or how many countries is this in?
Oh, man, I can tell you that we are in more than 90 countries, and it is very important that this goes into the heart language of the children. You know, we want to make sure that these are translated into the language that this child's going to resonate with. So praise God for that, more than 90 countries.
Yes, and there's one more thing, and we were talking about this before we went on the air, because I had missed it. I got to interview these earlier, so I'm giving a plan ahead, and the weekend before Christmas, you'll hear another interview with these two ladies on Exploring Missions, the other program that I do. But we were talking about it at the end of that, the effectiveness of this and the effect it has upon the children and the community and family. Would you speak to that, Gina, the effect that it has?
Yes, you know, in these communities, there are lots of violence. The environment is so difficult for kids to grow in there. There are drug dealers in the street. There are so many dangerous things around, and teenagers start doing not good choices. So I had a burden for these kids. And I was praying. I was telling them, I don't want you to be on the streets. I don't want to see you picking with drugs or fighting. I just don't want you like that. So come to the classes, stay with us, learn about Jesus, take good decisions. And I could see at the end of these lessons that all these kids continue coming after that. All these kids continue learning, and I know their lives were changed, and they will not be like others. Their lives will be different.
Alex, amen. Have you heard what they get when they complete the 12-week program?
Well, tell me about it.
I thought that was amazing. Gina, tell us what you're able to give these students who complete the 12-week program.
Well, they receive a colorful Bible, illustrated, and a discipleship certificate. It says that you are a disciple of Jesus, and they give you a guide to be a disciple of Jesus, the Bible. And that's wonderful.
And they have a graduation. This is something that I really had missed
yes.
until this year, that they have an official graduation for those that complete it. And this is the only graduation that a lot of these children ever go through, a ceremony. And damn it, do the kids show up, or are they everywhere like parents are here? They want to see their kids graduate.
You know, the whole community is coming out together to celebrate this. And, of course, the gospel is shared again at this graduation ceremony. So you have family, you have friends, it's packed out, and that's an amazing God-sized opportunity again right there at the graduation ceremony.
And folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Exploring the Word with Bert and Alex on the American Family Radio Network. I want to encourage you to please, here it is Christmas, be philanthropic and generosity-minded. Go to AFR.net, and for $6, every $6 you give will bring a child into a study of God's Word. It's called The Greatest Journey by Samaritan's Purse. And we just, let me say, Dana, and Gina, how millions of people, ourselves included, we love Samaritan's Purse and all that you all do. And Bert, you know, I think about, I don't know, $6. I mean, that's lunch at a fast food restaurant, maybe. That's, you know, not a whole lot, a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk, maybe. And just by giving, we can change the life and the eternity of a child, really. And so I want to encourage everybody listening, go to AFR.net, and what you're doing, you're scholarshipping a child to go through a study of God's Word called The Greatest Journey.
And if you can't go on the internet, go to 877-616-2396 and make that pledge and share this money. I want to give these numbers, and we were talking about it real quickly. The numbers of the number of children that's gone through this program are amazing. I have some of that. In by 2009, 6.9 million children had gone through The Greatest Journey since 2009. And 1.9, that's right at 2 million, have reported their decisions for Christ. I want to say to you, if you're looking for an evangelistic tool to reach people for Christ, The Greatest Journey is a great way to do it.
Well, and Bert, my friend, I have to tell you, I was looking at that same stat just now, and I have to tell you, that 6.9 million, that's how many have actually reported decisions for Christ since 2009, and like you said, but 14.9 million have actually enrolled in the program, and, you know, what exposure to just God's Word and just His love for them in that way. And about the gift that you guys are making today, right now, your gift is doubled by a match donation, so I want to make sure you understand just the time-sensitive nature of that and what an amazing opportunity is that when you send one child today, you're really sending two. And right now, when you call in and you want to send in enough for 10 children, you're really going to be able to send 20 through the program.
Wow. Dana, Gina, thank you for being with us today.
Gracias.
Thank you so much.
Let me give
God bless you all.
AFR.net, look for The Greatest Journey, or 877-616-2396. Alex and I will be back. We're going to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because He may be urging you to make that call right now.
Now is your chance to partner with American Family Radio and send thousands of children on The Greatest Journey. The Greatest Journey is a 12-lesson discipleship program that helps children understand the love of Christ and become followers of Jesus. 14.9 million children who have received a shoebox gift have participated in The Greatest Journey. Children learn about Jesus and how to share their faith with family and friends. The Greatest Journey equips local churches and their children's ministry, providing practical tools for discipleship. Help spread the gospel in the darkest parts of the world and grow the church through multiplication. For a donation of just $6, you can provide discipleship materials for a child. $60 reaches 10 children. $150 reaches 25. Call now and your gift will be doubled by matching funds. Call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or donate online at AFR.net.
When we come to God by faith, He changes us. But Dr. Tony Evans says that change goes a lot deeper than we often think. He has an example to share with us today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
The U.S. has a witness protection program. They change your identity. The reason they change your identity is because somebody after you, somebody trying to get you. So they want you to become somebody different without actually changing who you are. A new name, new social security number, new license, new place to live, new identity for you and your family, because somebody after you. Now they tell you up front, you're going to have to get used to this. Because you used to being called by your old name. You used to operate this way. You used to move about this way. But in this new situation, because somebody after you, we want to deliver you from the person that's after you. And the way we're going to deliver you is change who you are. But unless you get used to functioning in the new way you're declared to be, you're going to make yourself vulnerable to the one trying to get you. What God is trying to tell us in spiritual warfare is somebody is after you. Somebody's trying to stop your progress and block your future and keep you from achieving your goal. But God has got you in a salvation program where He is now changing how you look at yourself. And you ought to look at yourself from the perspective of God, no longer from the perspective of man. And then the hitman can't get to you because he don't know who you are.
Learn more strategies for keeping Satan's influence out of your life. Check out Tony's CD series, The Armor of God, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
The Word of God is alive, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that Word of God changes lives. We're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and I want to read Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, and Amen. Then Alex, I'll throw it to you, and we want to talk just this segment about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and then we'll take calls, but I just, this is powerful to me. Romans 8, 26 and 27, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Alex, if that were the only thing the Holy Spirit did for me, I would just be on cloud nine, but He is so much more that He does in our lives. But I praise God for Him interceding for me when I don't even know how to pray or what to pray.
Oh, my goodness. You know, Bert, I really think we don't talk enough about the multifaceted work of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives. You know, and Romans is a good book. You know, I think in the book of Romans, we think about Christ's righteousness, and there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and that is wonderful. But Romans has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit, doesn't it?
It does. Romans 12, which one is the great chapters, verses 3 through 8, talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. It talks about the grace gifts, and these are administered by the Holy Spirit that He gives us that we might fulfill our function here as believers. He talks about the body and, each member of the body, but they're empowered by the Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine, but be what? filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Alex is, is that a command? Be filled?
It really is. It really is. You know, Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade, he had a little booklet called Have You Discovered the Spirit-Filled Life? And Bill Bright talked about how really it is a command to be filled with the Holy Spirit and controlled by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. And let me say this, to let the Holy Spirit lead your life and guide you and teach you and give you comfort and convict you when you're, you know, need a little nudge, and to open the Word. I mean, all of the myriad of things the Holy Spirit does in the life of the believer, this is not just for the superstars and for Billy Graham and David Jeremiah. We love them. It's for every believer. And let me give you a verse, Bert, if I may. Romans 5, 5 and 6 says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Now, some translations, I like this, the rendering says that the love of God and the Holy Spirit have been shed abroad into our hearts.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Just fully poured into our hearts, and what a blessing. And then Romans 5, 5, and 6, the Holy Spirit given to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you need a little boost today, let me remind you of this. Imagine the third member of the Trinity, Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, not just, dangled before us to tease us or anything like that. No, given. Isn't that amazing? God has given himself to be a part of our life. I think that's profoundly exciting.
It is. Now let's look and listen to what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit coming. You find it in Romans chapter 16. We've talked about it recently, but it's so good we go back to there. And it says, he says in 16 verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." But listen to what Jesus says. He said, it's to your advantage that I go away. Now, Alex, you got to remember who he's saying that to. He's talking to these guys that's been with him, some of them for 3 years and a little longer, and others a little shorter time. But they'd been walking with him, and they were just on board with him. And he says, I'm going to go away. And their heart was troubled. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. But here says, I want to tell you, it's to your advantage that I go away. Now, that really penetrates my heart, because I'll talk to some people, said, oh, if I could have only been here when Jesus was walking the earth. Now, I know that would have been good, but Jesus would say to them, it's to your advantage that I'm not here. It's to your advantage that the Holy Spirit is in you.
Yeah,
that's what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit's coming, Alex.
I know you've heard of A.W. Tozer.
Yes.
He was a great Christian leader. Would you say he's probably been past 50 years at least?
I think it was in the 50s or 60s when he passed, if I remember correctly.
And, you know, he wrote a lot about the Holy Spirit and revival, and we surely do need that. And, folks, let me urge you, as you pray, please pray for the Holy Spirit of God to fall on this nation from coast to coast and to bring conviction over sin. But Tozer said this, quote, "The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. The Holy Spirit-filled life is part and parcel of the total plan of God for each and every believer." Now, that's powerful, isn't it?
It is. And when you see that, it is, you know, the ordinary. The ordinary becomes extraordinary when the Holy Spirit empowers them, and that's exactly what he does. That scripture over in Ephesians where it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the terms that it's used is what is called a nautical term or a naval term, and it's when a boat, a sailboat, will lift its sails, and the wind comes, and guess what it does to those sails? It fills
them up.
Fills them up. Now, what does that do? That gives power and direction. Now, you got a little rudder down there that helps, and James talks about that rudder. and that he talks about when the tongue, but it's an amazing thing how all of it connects. But that filling of the Holy Spirit is the wind, and isn't it amazing that in the book of Acts chapter 2, when Luke was writing, he says, as the wind, Jesus talked about the wind, and it's the same spirit, pneumas, as it comes in, and it moved over them as a rushing mighty wind. And it says, be filled with this spirit. Let him guide you. Let him direct you. Let him empower you. Alex, it's a work in agreement. It's not that he automatically fills you, and it's not that you can work it up. It's that you make yourself available to him like you do if you were to lift up your sails and you say, Lord, I need you in my life. I need you to empower me, direct me. But it's got to start with confession, confessing known sin. God, what that does, if you can keep the naval term in your mind, what will happen if you've got sin that's weighting you down, those sails just don't go up high enough for God to fill them. But if you get rid of the sin by confessing your sin and lightening the sin load by confession and being right with the Lord, that Spirit of God can move in you and direct you and empower you. And it's amazing what some people can do under the power of the Holy Spirit.
Well, you know, we've talked about the Holy Spirit of God on the show before. The Holy Spirit didn't just begin to exist at Pentecost. That's very famous. You know, Peter preached and the Spirit of God was poured out. Interestingly, just like it says in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit was poured out. That's what it says in the Romans 5 passage. I'm looking at the text right now. The Holy Spirit of God poured out into the hearts of us. And really, it's overflowing, filled to overflowing. But, you know, Bert, I think about this all the way back to the creation. The Holy Spirit of God participated in the creation of all things. The Holy Spirit of God worked all through the Old Testament, working in the lives of people and in, you know, the guiding, the call of Abraham, and through so many of the things leading up to the coming of the Messiah. And to this day, you know, the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit, the leading, the guiding, the empowerment, the courage, the wisdom, the insight, the discernment, all of these things. The more I'm thinking, Bert, yeah, we just couldn't get out of bed each day and do anything without without the ministry of that one who comes alongside the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And he makes much of Jesus. That's what he does. He doesn't really, you know, say, look at me. He says, look unto Jesus. I thought of another one in the Old Testament, Alex, and I believe you'll think of it and remember it. In Psalm 51, when David was confessing his sin, he says, create in me, this is Psalm 51, verses 10 and 11, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Now, the spirit here is David's spirit. Now, listen to the rest of it, though. Yeah. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Here now, again, the Old Testament minister of the Holy Spirit was coming upon people and leaving people. Samson's the best way or the best person to illustrate that, how the Spirit would come upon him and the strength would, you know, energize him, and he'd do great, great things. But here David recognizes, he says, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David, in the Psalms, recognized the ministry of the Holy Spirit and his empowering and his equipping, Alex. And that part of the ministry is still real. We call it the anointing. We can call it, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. But the filling of the Holy Spirit, just for him to fill you, is for living. It's to live a godly life. The anointing of the Spirit of God, when he gives, I would call it extra grace, is the anointing when he gives you a greater capacity to do things that really you may not could do without him. And so the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not just for doing great things, preaching, speaking, teaching, singing, but it's also for living, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. And, you know, the knowledge that the Spirit of God is always in our life as a believer, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about the earnest or the guarantee of our salvation by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Mm. You know, Bert, we've had a fair amount of callers over the years that they want to know, how can I be sure that I'm really saved? And You know, in talking about the assurance of salvation, we don't ever want to, you know, be presumptuous. I mean, if you've not accepted Christ and opened your heart to the Lord, by all means, you know, get that settled. But I do think that one of the things about the knowledge that we are a born-again child of God and Jesus Christ is in our life is that the Holy Spirit is in us. And just think about it, folks, and I'm trying to base this on Scripture, 2 Corinthians 1:22, Ephesians 4:30, but is your life different? Let's say maybe you had a problem with bad language and you've noticed that God has begun to, you know, cure you of that, or habits or worry or things like that. Or now you've got a desire to hear the Word of God, and before maybe you didn't. And you didn't have much to do with church folk, and now you understand that you're part of the family of God. Bert, I think there are 36 ways that we can, if we kind of look at ourselves, we can see that the Holy Spirit of God is working in our lives, that down payment of our salvation.
And what an experience it is. Again, I remind you of what I said earlier, what Jesus said in John 16, it is to your advantage that I go away, because the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to be empowering you. One of the best illustrations of that is Peter before the Spirit came in and Peter after the Holy Spirit. He would deny the knowing the Lord before the Holy Spirit, before Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit just fell upon him and others. But after that, he would go before the Sanhedrin and they'd tell him to be quiet. And he said, we can't help but speak and share the things we've seen and heard. That's the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And so let me give one more that I feel like we really need to share about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's in 1 Corinthians 12. It says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The only way Jesus is Lord in your life, it's not by what you say, it's not by what you do, it's the Holy Spirit coming into your life and making his abode in your life as you surrender to him, and the Holy Spirit just saturates your life. Let me give you an example of this. I'm not a coffee drinker, but I am a tea drinker. Mostly sweet tea, half and half these days. I don't put as much sugar in it as I once did. But Alex, you boil your water, and then you've got tea bags. When that water gets hot, you can drop those tea bags in, and guess what that water becomes? It becomes tea.
Golden brown.
Yeah, a brown. And it's no longer water. It's what? It's tea.
It's tea. That's
and
right.
When the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, It's what Paul said, it's no longer me, but it's Christ in me, the Spirit in me. And so what you want to do is fall in love with Jesus. Just confess your sins before him. Let him just saturate your life. The Holy Spirit comes in, and I want to tell you, it's no longer Bert, it's no longer Alex, it's no longer Brent, but it's God who is working in our lives. Yes, it's us doing it, but the empowerment and the direction is from the Holy Spirit. That is the power of the Holy Spirit, isn't it?
John 14:26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've told you. Now, Christ made that promise to his apostles. I think kind of to a similar degree, we have a promise that scripture that God gave the apostles, 1 John 2:27, he'll teach to us. So none of us are writing Scripture, obviously, but we're learning Scripture, and the Holy Spirit of God opens our mind that we can.
Jesus is Lord in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Make sure you know Christ. Make sure you've trusted him. We want to answer any of your questions that we can. The number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We're waiting to hear from you.
Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. With the near unanimous agreement and celebration of same-sex relationships and the LGBTQ+ political agenda reflected across our culture, it can seem as though everyone must agree with this stuff. Well, that's just not so. Voters in Taiwan have rejected legalizing same-sex marriage in a series of referendums. They refused to amend the definition of marriage reflected in their civil code. This is just an example of the reality that not everyone is going along with the spirit of the age. The Taiwanese people have rejected this. The body of Christ must also stand strong.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hi, I'm Jim Stanley, General Manager of American Family Radio. All you have to do is look at the headlines and you'll see how much America has and is drifting off the course our country's founders hoped for. AFR is fighting to stem that tide by pointing people to Jesus. Would you please consider a generous year-end gift to help promote godly values? You can give at afa.net. Please remember to pray for our ministry too. Thank you and God bless you in the coming year.
This is Tim Armstrong from the Worthy Walk radio program. I encourage you to listen as we work verse by verse through the scriptures each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Time here on American Family Radio. Join me as we explore the Word of God and learn to apply its truths to our lives each day. The Worthy Walk radio program, Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Central Time on American Family Radio.
During the holidays, millions of pieces of luggage will be processed in airports all over the world. And much of that luggage will carry the Samsonite logo, a leader in the travel bag market for more than 100 years.
But did you know the name Samsonite was influenced by a story from the Bible?
What?
In 1910, when Jesse Schwader opened his luggage factory in Denver, Colorado, its original luggage product was named Samson to convey the physical durability and strength of the Old Testament figure of Samson.
Even Schwader's official corporate philosophy was influenced by the Bible in Matthew 7:12, known as the Golden Rule. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you.
Engage with the Bible in its influence over the centuries.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. American Family Radio. American Family Radio.
Let the power of your words dwell here richly, changing the ways that I see. Fill me with otherly wisdom, plant me deep like a tree by the stream.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert with you. That little bit before we took on, came back, Museum of the Bible. If you're in D.C., be sure and go see it. It will bless you. It will challenge you. And we're just, they're good partners with us. We've been up there and used their studios. And they're just a wonderful, wonderful group of people. And it is well worth your time to go by and see the Museum of the Bible. Alex, it's just something to see what God has done through His Word.
Well, and you know what? I'm amazed at how many people haven't heard of it yet. Last night I was talking to some, you know, really, really active believers, and I was telling them about the Museum of the Bible, and they had never heard of it. And I said, oh, you've got to go. I mean, it's I guess in the whole wide world, the biggest collection of scriptures and manuscripts and artifacts, and it really does make the Bible come alive. To me, it's a must-see part of what's in our wonderful nation.
Yeah. The Green family's done a great job, owners of Hobby Lobby, and they just do. And listen, my wife and others, Hobby Lobby is part of their life this time of the year, Christmas time, I'm telling you. But Museum of the Bible, they took their resources, and they have blessed our nation. So Museum of the Bible. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you make a phone call, we've got lines that are open. Let's go to Alabama and talk to Michael. Michael, welcome.
Good afternoon. I don't know if you remember this, but about a week ago, some gentleman phoned asking about Pharaoh supposedly, tell you here in, I think, the first place in the Bible where we read about God causing a spirit of evil, supposedly, is in Exodus chapter 3, the 21st verse, quote, "And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles which I put in your power, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go," unquote. Now, that's Revised Standard Version. I read somewhere or heard that that was the way, maybe this will help with the answer you all were looking for. I read someplace that the ancient rabbis and scribes saw fate and the workings out of events. God's sovereignty was even over good and evil. Something, a natural disaster happened, or something wonderful like the birth of a child, or the death of an evil king, or something terrible like the death of a righteous person, because God caused or willed all of those events to happen, even evil events. And I wondered if you could confirm or deny that. The reason this worries me about literalist interpretations of Scripture, especially English translations, is with Romans chapter 9, where he talks of St. Paul, and that's only one example, talks about Gentile believers and being added to Christian, Gentile.
Okay, Michael. We got other callers, so I think we got the gist of what you were talking about. We've talked about this quite a bit, about Pharaoh's heart being hardened. Alex, active by God, is it a result or causation? I think it is a combination of both. I'll put it that way, Michael.
It is. Yeah. You know, there are laws in the physical world that just, you know, if you interact or cross those laws, things happen. I mean, there's the law of gravity. And if you do something that causes you to fall from a high place to the ground, you're going to get hurt, partly because of the, you know, unavoidability of the law of gravity, but partly because of the decision you made to do something like that. And so when, you know, Saul wasn't listening to the Lord in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 26, and, you know, Saul had decided to not listen to the Lord anymore. He obstinately went his own way, and the result was his heart was hardened. Now, God is the ultimate cause of everything by virtue of having created the universe. But, Bert, I don't believe God causes evil or pain or suffering. Now, God might have allowed it, but I feel like when we read about, like, Pharaoh persecuting the Israelites, not letting them go, keeping them enslaved, and Saul, it was that these leaders used their free will to choose to disobey God, choose to persist in a pathway of sin, and the result of resisting God, His Holy Spirit, was that their heart became hard.
I agree. And go with Judas Iscariot. He had a devil, a demon, from the very beginning, and Jesus knew what was going on, but yet it was Judas who chose to do so. It is Pharaoh who chose to do so. And if you put it, again, he's talking about, I think it's not necessarily a literal translation. You and I both believe if when you can translate it literally, what Alex and I mean by literally is that you interpret the Scripture way it was given. And sometimes it is hyperbole, the beam that's in someone's eye. That's a hyperbole. But Alex, literally means you translate the Bible the way God intended it to be given. Jesus says, "I'm the door." It doesn't mean he's a wooden door or a metal door. He's the passageway in which people come into his kingdom. So a literal translation of the Bible is a good thing when you translate it the way God intended it, the way he gave it. And so is that your interpretation of literal interpretation?
I would completely agree.
Okay. Thank you, Michael, for calling. Let's go to Cassandra in Kansas. Cassandra, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I am studying in 1 John, and that author is the only author in the Bible who uses the word Antichrist. And from my research, what I found is that came about because the Jewish people were splitting into Messianic Jews and non-Messianic Jews. So my question is, why today do we celebrate the Jewish religion And if your answer is because of the heritage aspect, then I would ask you to rationalize the verse where Jesus says, who is my brother and who is my mother? Thank you.
Okay, Cassandra, thank you for thinking through some things. Alex, celebrating Jewish religion is because of the foundation by which Jesus Christ came from that. And we do thank God for that. Celebrate it. Is there a difference in recognizing and appreciating and celebrating, Alex?
Well, and by the way, thank you for listening, and what a great, great question. I mean, well, acknowledgement is not necessarily the same thing as celebrating. I mean, the historical foundation of Christianity having been birthed out of Judaism, that's undeniable. But, you know, the verse in 1 John chapter 2 that she's talking about, his, you know, you've heard that the Antichrist would come. This is 18 through 22, really. And the word Antichrist there is in 1 John 2, and even now is in the world, the spirit of Antichrist. And it goes on, and it says, who is the Antichrist, and who is a liar, but the one who denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. That's 1 John 2:22. So here's the thing. You're right. For the first 200 years plus of the church, the vast, vast majority of believers were Jewish. Now, we love the Israelis because the Bible says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse those who curse thee. That's Genesis chapter 12. And we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But I think historically, we recognize that it was from Judaism that God sent his son, the Messiah. We are to befriend Israel because the Word of God says so. But please don't construe that to mean that we're celebrating the fact that they or any people group rejected the Son of God. And we know there is coming an Antichrist who will lead the world and persecute the church and blaspheme God. But to love the Jewish people and to recognize some of the beauty and richness of the history in no way means that we're condoning their disbelief in the one and only Messiah, Jesus.
Amen. And one more thing. The support of the modern-day Israel's right to exist does not give us to say everything they do is correct. So, you know, a lot of folks say, no matter what they do, no, we support their right to exist, their right to defend themselves, and we are friend and stand with them in this. But again, hey, they're people that are human beings that make mistakes the way our leadership makes mistakes. But we do support their right to exist in a day when so much of the world wants them to be destroyed, Alex. So thank you, Cassandra, for that. Let's go to Georgia and talk to Andy. Andy, welcome.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing good today.
I wanted to comment on yesterday. Y'all was talking about John 3:16, and I believe that, you know, that is the most misquoted scripture ever. But because it says, you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's not shall. Because even in James 2:19, Paul says, our friend, it says, Lord have mercy.
Well, hey, let me jump in here. As we were saying yesterday that, you know, it basically in the Greek, it does say shall, meaning will. It's a guarantee. If you will believe on who Jesus was and what he did, and believe it, put your own faith in Jesus. Who is he? The Son of God. What did he do? He paid our sins on the cross, rose from the dead. And you're saying, God, I turn from sin, I believe, I trust in you, I'm putting my faith in you, you shall have eternal life. Now, please don't think that in the English, shall or will or should, please don't think that introduces any vagueness or ambiguity. In the Greek language, it uses the word shall, but it means, hey, it's like this, if you jump in the pool, you shall be wet. Well, if you put your faith in Jesus, you shall be saved.
Same thing. Andy, thank you for your call. Let's go to Ohio and talk to Dave. Dave, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello.
Yes, you're on, Dave. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Brothers, I count it a blessing to hear you every day on AFR, and I listen regularly, and I'm sure I'll find this a blessing to speak to you today. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
In a world, especially in a world that we know from Scripture, is going to fall deeper and deeper into disarray, and not wanting to sound like a disheartened Christian, but you see the world calling evil good and good evil, even the many, many in the church, and they don't repent of that. It seems to get worse and worse as time goes on. And you even see your brothers and sisters in the church failing. How do you feel that in a year from now or 2 years from now, if the trend continues, the state of the church is going to be diminished that much more? Is there going to be hope?
Okay. Thank you, Dave. Listen, don't Americanize the whole church. That's one of the things I had to overcome, Dave. I had to overcome that because the church is alive and well. Go to Africa, go to Uganda, and find out what all God's doing there, what God is doing in many of the places that are we don't know about. Yes, in America, we're seeing this downward spiral right now, and I call it a spiral. Now, that doesn't mean we're sinking completely, but we're headed downward. So the direction that the Bible states for us, Alex, is in the last days, things will grow worse and worse. That is a direction, but it doesn't mean that there can't be periods of relief of coming up and then going back down. But we need to look at the whole church and not just here in America when we look at those scriptures, don't we?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think where we think about that, you know, the pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, 2 Timothy 3, Paul says, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come, and men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." There's this list of the way people are going to behave in the last days, and it sure does sound like 2018, doesn't it?
It does.
And there are times of revival, too, though.
There is, and we go in that. We're going to try to get one more question in today. We're going to do our best to answer it. Jeremiah from Tennessee, thank you for holding. Go ahead, Jeremiah. Haven't got a lot of time, but go ahead.
Oh, hey, first of all, thank you, guys. I love you guys so much. My question would be, why does God seem so different in the Old Testament as opposed to the New Testament? In the Old Testament, he seems very angry.
Okay, breaking up a little bit. Alex, I hadn't got a lot of time. It's the same God, but was the purpose a little bit different, what the old covenant was trying to demonstrate and what the new covenant is revealing?
A great question, and you know, I write about this quite a bit in depth in my book, Stand Strong in College, because it's one of the major questions that we got from young people interviewing kids for that book. But here's the thing. God is consistent. Malachi 3 says God doesn't change. And, you know, over and over in the Old Testament, in Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Nehemiah, Psalms, Joel, God is called compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And then Romans 1, that God in the New Testament says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men. So God is consistent. He's a God of love, but he's also God of justice and righteousness.
When you look at see what had happened to Ananias and Sapphira when they came and lied to the Holy Spirit, I would say judgment is there. And it's always that. Listen, Jeremiah, it's always the mercy of God and the truth and the holiness of God. They do not compete. They work together to bring about God's purpose for this world.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. The Old Testament and New Testament reveal that together. Thank you for your calling, Jeremiah. Alex, been good to be with you today, brother.
Well, you know, Jonathan Edwards said, if even one sinner in all of history was saved, the mercy of God would have been shown.
Amen. And I'm glad he saved this sinner right here.
Amen.
Thank you for being with us today on Exploring the Word and on AFR. Be sure and tell someone about our station, but also this program. But more importantly, tell someone about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.